Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name's Patricia King. Have you ever wondered what happens to a person if they've committed suicide? Or what happens to babies in heaven if babies depart before they live out their lives? What happens to aborted babies? Well, we're going to find out today from our guest speaker, Kat Kerr. Kat, it's wonderful to have you with us once again.
Thank you.
And these subjects that we're talking about today are heavy subjects,
yes.
And you write about them because of your encounters with the Lord that you have in heaven. You've been given insight into these subjects, so you write about them in your book. This is volume 2 that I have with me right now, and you expound on these things a bit in these chapters. But I know a lot of people wonder about suicide. Mm-hmm. You know, the scripture says man is appointed once to die and then the judgment.
Yes.
But does it matter how the life ends? And so I know a lot of people have questions, and how can we know for sure if someone goes on to glory or not? So can you share some insights with us on that?
Oh, yes. Actually, the Father made sure that he gave me a revelation on suicide. He wanted people to know the truth, that there is a difference in taking your life and ending your suffering. And I didn't really, until he told me that, I didn't know how to explain it to people. I did know that not everyone who did that went to hell. I knew that if you were a believer, if you loved God and some tragic thing happened to you that altered your mind or not even have control of your senses, I knew, without anyone telling me, I knew that they were in heaven because God would not be, he would be just in his decisions because he judges by the heart.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted it to be revealed what happened. And so the first thing he had me do was look up the definition of suicide in the dictionary. And I was surprised. It actually says willingly, knowingly, intelligently taking your own life. And yet that's not even really suicide. Most people who commit suicide, what they call suicide, they're not in their normal mind, whether it's emotions, physically mm-hmm. or mentally. They don't even think like a normal person does. So that mm-hmm. wouldn't even be willingly or knowingly
right.
doing it. Or certainly not intelligently, because they're in despair, they're mm-hmm. suffering, they're in agony, whether
right.
through mental torment or physical or emotional, that they didn't cause themselves. And the Father said, that's right. He said, that's why I'm a just God. I judge by the heart. He actually showed me 3 different people in heaven who had ended their suffering. And this is what he said. He said, we take every case individually, so that mm-hmm. doesn't give you the right just to end your life.
Right.
But he said, most of the time, what happens is the people are under some kind of trauma in their life,
right.
either through maybe from continued physical abuse could cause mental torment, emotional abuse. I knew of someone that was in an automobile accident, and the medication they gave them to take totally altered
right.
their mental capacities, and it caused them agony, more agony than it did from mm-hmm. the accident. And they actually ended their suffering, and God said, mm-hmm. I'm not unjust. I'm not going to give them to Satan as a trophy if they belong to me,
mm-hmm.
if they had accepted the Lord as their Savior.
Right.
He said, we look at that as a cancer. They didn't ask for it. They didn't cause it.
Right.
They have no way that they can end that. And the only thing they're thinking is, I can no longer stand the suffering. I have to end mm-hmm. the suffering. They don't really want to leave their loved ones or lose their life. So they literally aren't, according to the dictionary, not committing suicide.
Right.
They're only ending the suffering, and they go home to heaven.
And most of the time, maybe all of the time, it's a demonic spirit that's pressuring them in their time of suffering. Say,
yes.
Take your life, take your life, take your life,
that's
take
right.
your life, because he doesn't want them to fulfill their destiny.
That's right.
And so he pressures and pressures and pressures until the pressure causes them to give in. And if they're not strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, they might not be able to resist that temptation.
That's right.
That's why we need to pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Lead us not into temptation. In other words, you know, keep us out of a path of temptation.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Deliver us from evil.
That's
Deliver
right.
us from evil.
Deliver us from evil. And it totally is a spirit of despair. They can be oppressed and depressed. But the Father said once the spirit of despair takes over and really begins to bombard them, like you said, that it's, unless they have a divine encounter, it's almost really impossible to prevent them from ending the suffering. All they know is, I have to be with Jesus because he's the only one that can help me. And that's their way of doing it.
Now, obviously, if you've just taken your life or ended your suffering
mm-hmm.
and you enter into heaven, is there a realization of what you did wrong?
They absolutely do. Well, number one, they just like anyone for however you ended up there, you know, you're engulfed with the love of God and just his presence and the joy that sweeps over you. And of course, they're no longer suffering. Right. So first there's this flood of joy that comes into them, but then there's the realization, oh, I didn't get to finish what I was sent for, but the mercy of God, you know, takes away. You don't have guilt or condemnation of any kind, but this is the thing that's the biggest on their heart. I wish I could let my parents know that I'm with the Lord, that he was just, he knew the true condition of my heart, that I'm not in hell suffering. And almost all of them feel that they would have liked to have let their parents know, you know, God, if you can give them peace, if there's some kind of impression you can give them that I'm with you. And he actually does do that sometimes. Right. So there is definitely an awareness.
In fact, I think what you share in your book is an answer to that cry. And, you know, I just sense that there's some of you watching right now where you have lost loved ones to suicide and you really wondered. And your God is such a merciful God. And I believe he's going to give you a confirmation to your heart today, even by watching this program. He loves that cherished one. He loves them. And I just really sense his mercy and his goodness being shown to you. And I want to say this, is that when we pray, you've got to have confidence in this, because the Bible says if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household shall be saved.
That's right.
It says in 1 John 5:14-15, that if you pray according to the will of God, he hears you. And if you know that he hears you, then you can be confident that you have the request that you asked of him. In Mark 11, Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have what you ask. In Psalm 2:8, it says, ask of me, and I will give to thee the heathen for your inheritance. All these scriptures, they line up to one thing, is if you are asking for the soul of a loved one, it is impossible for that loved one not to be saved. God will find a way, even if it's in the last minute, the last hour, even if you never heard them testify of their salvation, because you prayed, because you believed in the promise of God, he will make a way. And I just feel like the comfort of God right now is just being released to you right now, so that you will have assurance that God is good and that he is in complete control over that loved one that you have been so concerned about. Just put your trust in God. He loves you and he loves them. We're going to take a break right now. And when we get back, we're going to talk about children in heaven. Do they go to heaven? And if so, what do they do there? And what about aborted children? What happens to children whose lives were taken even before they had a chance to live in the world? We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear the voice of God and move more powerfully in the prophetic? Order Patricia King's book, Ears That Hear, and learn simple and practical ways to begin listening to what the Lord is saying. Go to xbministries.com and order Ears That Hear now.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. For a generous commitment of $30 a month or more, go online to xpministries.com.
Are you called to media? XP Media's training team is available to teach you every phase of media production, from script writing to acting, editing, producing, and directing. For more information, visit xpmediatraining.com.
Now, Kat, in your book, you talk about children in heaven, so these are children who have lost their lives early. We had actually a tragedy in our family amongst our friends who lost their child just a year ago, and it was so sad. But what gave them joy was the assurance of knowing that their precious little one was in glory. So can you share some insights with us about children in heaven?
I can. And of course, all children have guardian angels. At the time of conception, your guardian angel comes with you. It doesn't appear once you're born. It's actually outside the mother waiting on you to come. And so their presence is there around the baby, even while it's in the womb. And yes, sometimes it doesn't quite make it to birth for whatever reason that happens. Right. Once that little baby passes, its life leaves its little body. Out of its little body, no matter how big that is, steps a perfectly formed little spiritual body of that baby. Even if the physical one hasn't quite formed yet, it's a perfectly made little baby. They have understanding. They know who their parents are. They actually, when they go to heaven, they sing, they play, they laugh. You do not have to educate them in all things like we do down here on earth. Their guardian angels take them back to heaven if they do not make it all the way. But I can tell you, they live the most amazing life in heaven.
Now, what about, like, let's say a child is departs when they're, let's say, 3 years of age.
Okay.
Are they for all eternity 3 years of age?
Well, that's the thing that the father showed me. He said, that baby or that child normally will stay that age until you get to heaven, until the parent arrives in heaven to finish raising their child. He doesn't even let you miss that. But whatever age you picture the child being, mm-hmm. whether it's still three or maybe eight or whatever the age that is, that child will be the age, even if 40 years went by.
Wow.
And eventually in heaven they all grow, but it takes much longer in heaven because there's really no time like on earth. So that child's going to be with you a lot longer. Eventually they will grow to what I call the eternal age, that everyone in heaven looks, and there's no old people in heaven, you all look amazing. But they get to see their gifts develop. God didn't take their gifts away from them. And even though they think they may have lost their destiny, they get to complete part of that in heaven. And then even during the millennial reign, they'll get to use some of their gifts back here on earth.
Right.
But all the children, if they're that age, they would live with relatives or family members already in heaven. They will have friends to play with. God's made many places for them to enjoy their life in heaven. It's very exciting to be a child in heaven. But the thing that's always on their heart is they want their parents to be there.
Wow. Now, there are times when a woman would miscarry, mm-hmm. and they didn't even know that they were pregnant.
That's right.
Like, let's say that they were 2 months pregnant but didn't mm-hmm. know it, and they miscarried. You know, they might not have ever even known that they were mm-hmm. pregnant, so there's going to be some surprises in heaven.
Yes, and that's actually what the Lord called it. They will have some surprise packages waiting for them when they get there, but they will instantly know that that is their baby, and and that baby's already going to know its mom and dad's names, and even though you're not married in heaven, they actually take turns staying with you. You both get to experience them growing, seeing the gifts that God gave them. And this is the thing I love about the Lord. They actually have a little ceremony at one point in the child's life or even the baby's life that they come before his throne and receive him as their Savior. They have a little ceremony.
Wow.
They bring little flowers to Jesus and receive him. Jesus spends a lot of time with the babies and with the children. And the little ones that are miscarried for whatever reason, they're usually in the nurseries. The angels rock them and breathe the breath of God on them. It nourishes their spirit. But the deer come in from the meadow, and they put these little mm-hmm. babies on their back. They take them for rides. They fly. The little birds come in and sing to them and take them for rides. They have beautiful flowers, living flowers growing right out of the walls in the nurseries, and even the flowers sing to them.
I've seen, when I was in heaven once, I saw the flowers are so beautiful.
Yes.
The colors are like vibrant life, like it has a life of its own. The colors
yes.
have a life of its
That's
own.
That's right.
And it's like they're not just like what we see on the earth. They're actual living, communicating
yes,
flowers.
They are. They have so many more dimensions than on the earth.
Yeah.
They down here, they look pretty. They feel pretty. They smell pretty. Mm-hmm. But in heaven, they make music.
Right.
Some of them change colors. Some of them, they're
communicate.
Very, yes, they communicate.
Yes.
And of course, they all worship God. But the babies love the flowers. And,
yeah, wow.
And God's so precious. He even grows special fields of little daisies, small enough for even the tiniest little babies to pick them. They stick them in their hair. It's so precious. And he made even a little play pond where they actually swim with the fish and on the turtles, and they play with the animals. They slide down real rainbow. So they live an amazing life in heaven.
In my book, The Heavenly City, you know, it's about a little boy named Kieran who had a tour of heaven. And one of the places is this playground where they go in the water and come
yes.
up. And, you know, it was so fun because I had a revelation regarding, mm-hmm. you know, playtime in heaven.
Yes.
You know, God created the earth in the likeness of heaven.
That's right.
So we shouldn't be surprised to hear that there's things in heaven that are like in the earth, because the earth was actually patterned after it. And no invention on the earth was just given into man's mind because man's so smart.
That's right.
Those inventions came, the inspiration came from God, whether they were put in an unsaved person's mind or not. Mm-hmm. They actually came from God. And so much of what we see in the earth is already, you know, it is a pattern of what is in heaven.
It is. And actually Hebrews 11 says that heaven is a country and a city. So if you want evidence, go read Hebrews 11. It actually does talk about that.
Right. Did you see people flying in heaven and children flying?
I've seen different ways of that happening. Now, I do know this, that when you're in heaven, no matter where you are and you want to go to the throne room, you begin to worship, you literally are caught up and you ride across the skies on your worship into the throne room. So that's one way they do that. Also, there's roads of light that are created that come down and pick you up and take you places in heaven. But one of the places I saw God actually designed for you to be able to do that is there is an amusement park in heaven, a fantastic place. It's got supernatural rides and things to do. So exciting to be in there. And there is one thing called Flyby. It's one of the amusements. And you literally learn to fly like Superman. And from that point, you don't walk around the amusement park. You literally fly everywhere in the amusement park.
This is so fun. Because in our book, The Heavenly City, Adventures with a King, we describe that as well.
Yes.
So it's just fun to see this so vividly confirmed. And also, what about fruit trees? Because the scripture says there's trees that bear fruit.
Yes.
Have you seen those in heaven?
I have seen many different styles, shapes, sizes, colors of trees. Some are even gold, and their leaves look like gold mesh. So you can't picture everything being exactly like this place, because it is a supernatural place. There are trees that have many kinds of fruit on just one tree. And actually, some of them, when you walk by, will literally hold up their branches for you to pick a piece of fruit off of them.
Wow.
And the fruit is delicious. It doesn't matter where you are in heaven. Sometimes you're not even near them and you have a desire to have some. A tray appears in front of you in the air and has all different kinds of fruit and things to eat. And when you're done eating, it disappears. You don't even have to clean it up.
Now, you told us over lunch today that in heaven, there's a lot of eating going on, and that makes me happy.
Yes,
that's happy. You can eat and eat and eat, and no one gains weight in heaven.
And no one gains weight, and you don't eat to live, okay, because mm-hmm. you're just in the life of God. You do it because you like to eat. God likes to eat, and even Jesus ate after he was risen from the dead, and actually he had dessert in the entree because the honeycomb was considered a delicacy back in his days, and that was their sweet that they had. So I loved it that he gave them fish, the entree, then they had dessert. But people fellowship. People go, what do I do when I get there besides go to the throne room? Well, it's hard to get you out of the throne room, but when you finally go out, because God wants you to enjoy these places, you fellowship with family, with friends. It says in the Word of God, you will be known as you were known, except you look fantastic.
Wow.
And you visit people and they have parties and you eat, and then you go places in heaven. There's actually restaurants in heaven because people have gifts as chefs.
Right.
All the food is made out of light, so it's totally absorbed in your being. There is no weight gain, no food allergies.
It's just joy.
It's
joy. Unspeakable and full
it's
of glory.
It's joy unspeakable, and I say no wonder people don't want to come back. You know, the food tastes and smells so good in
heaven. It's a great place for children.
It's a great place for children. They have ice cream parlors too, so I know they visit those places.
Okay, children, let's talk about aborted babies. Now, these are babies whose lives were intentionally taken by the parents. They never got to live out their destiny. What happens?
Well, of course, God hates and despises abortion. It is considered murder in heaven. It is, and you're ending the life of somebody significant that God loves. He sent them to earth to be a part of his family. He does have a destiny for every person on this earth. And not only that, he gave them gifts that he gave them eternally, and they will never get to use them on this earth. Well, once that abortion takes place, and yes, they do experience pain while it's taking place because they're real. They're a real living human being. Even as a little tiny baby, they're not a fetus. Don't call them a fetus in heaven. And life begins when, at the time of conception, a little spiritual being, God sends it to earth by the Holy Ghost, and he takes that eternal little spirit and knits it together in the mother's womb to the flesh. That's what that scripture means. It's revelation. It isn't him putting your arms and legs on. They literally have to attach that little eternal spirit, or it would go right back to the father. So anytime after that, no matter how old that baby gets to be, whether it's weeks or months, out of that little bit of flesh will step a spiritual little baby, completely formed baby. Well, his heart, of course, is hurting. Not talk about physical, because they no longer experience any of that pain once they pass from that little body. And their angel takes them back to heaven. And actually, there's a special place the aborted babies go.
I've heard a number of people say that.
And
who have
Jesus
seen it.
Greets them. He first heals mm-hmm. that little wound in their heart. They know they were rejected. They know that they were aborted. They were not wanted. And they actually forgive the parents. Right
wow.
then, they forgive the parents, they forgive the person who's done that. So if people are suffering, you know, if your believer had experienced that, don't let that the enemy beat you up with grief. They've already forgiven you. They totally want their parents to come to heaven to be with them.
Wow. Oh, I can feel so heavy in my spirit right now that there's some viewers watching that, number one, you either miscarried a child or lost a child early, or you aborted a child, and your heart is grieved in some ways and yet happy in others. But I want to minister right now, especially to those of you who have aborted your babies. I know that this would have given you great comfort to know that your babies are looked after. But what the Father wants to do now is remove shame from you. Your child in heaven is not wanting you to feel shame or guilt. Your child in heaven, as well as your Heavenly Father, want you to be free from those things so that you can go on. One day you will go and you will see your child and you will get to raise them and you will be united without shame, without guilt, without condemnation, without remorse. But right now, Daddy God, He wants to touch the pain in you.
Yes.
He wants to touch that shame right now and lift it right off of you. And you just cry out and say, I'm so sorry, Daddy. I didn't understand what I was doing. I'm so sorry. And as you're crying out to Him, I believe that His blood is cleansing you and delivering you and freeing you from the power of the sin, of murder, of taking the life, cleansing you from the shame, the guilt. He is so good. He loves you. And from this time forth, it'll be just as if it never happened. And we oftentimes do this little exercise in our ministry sessions, but if you've had a child that you've miscarried or a child that you've aborted, you know, if that child had come to full term and died, you would probably have a funeral for it. It would have had a name. It would have been committed. That's what we do in funerals, is we commit the soul of the person unto God for mercy or for judgment. You know, we just lift that soul up into the hands of God. But when babies are miscarried or aborted, we don't have that opportunity to do it. And oftentimes they're just put into a bag and taken to the lab or destroyed in some way. And they never get that finalized. You never get to release in your own heart. But what I want you to do now is just go before the Father and ask Him, first of all, to give you the name of your baby. He gives us our name. And He has the name of your child. And if you wait on Him right now and just say, Father God, would you tell me the name of my child? It will come to you. The name will come to you. Just receive that name. And I believe that many of you are getting those names right now. And after you receive the name, just from your heart, just tell your child how bad you feel about what you did. If it was an abortion, or how sad you are if it was a miscarriage that you lost the life of that child. Just share your heart, and Jesus will take that message to your baby. He will make sure that they hear your heart. And just share the things that you would like to say if you could see them. Just share them right from your heart. Just speak it out right now. And don't worry about the tears, the flood of tears that comes, or the remorse. Just let it come. Let it flow. And now, receive forgiveness from the Father for all. Just say, I receive your forgiveness, Daddy. I'm so sorry. And immediately you are forgiven. And now, just as an act of faith, prophetically, put the child in your hand and just lift it up to Daddy. And saying, Father, I dedicate this child to you right now. I give you my Johnny. I give you my Sarah. I give you my Jessica. I give you my Michael. I put him into your hands that he might be cared for by you for all eternity. I love him. And then just release him or her into the hands of the Lord. It's the most loving, the most kindest thing that you could ever do. God loves you, and he loves your child. He never wants to point a finger at you. He just wants to hold his hands open so that you would receive love. Always remember that. He loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. And one day you'll see love himself face to face. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to hear the voice of God and move more powerfully in the prophetic? Order Patricia King's book, Ears That Hear, and learn simple and practical ways to begin listening to what the Lord is saying. Go to xpministries.com and order Ears That Hear now.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. For a generous commitment of $30 a month or more, go online to xpministries.com.
Not all this does not belong to the enemy. Right. The supernatural came from God. It belongs to God. He desires his kids to walk in it. And so as a reward to you, his daughter, he is allowing you to release heaven to this world. And he said this world is never going to be the same. He said it will change history. It will change the way people think about him, think about heaven, think about eternity. So I personally want to thank you for allowing me to come and share heaven. Heaven thanks you for allowing them to come in and invade your life, invade this area. He said a wave of God is about to hit this area. It's never going to be the same again. At one point he said evil will flee, darkness will flee from this area like dust, because of the light of the glory of God that will be in his people in this region, because of what you will being allowed to be released through the atmosphere. He said you are literally taking breath away from the enemy. When you allow this to be broadcast from here, you take back air from the enemy. He said he may be the prince and power of the air, but we're the kings and queens, and we're the ones who should rule the air. He said by doing this, you are literally ruling the atmosphere over not just this region, but Arizona. And so he wants you to know that you've blessed him with your life, and he's got great things planned for you and your
family.
Thank
you so much. And you know, as a ministry, we want to thank you for your faithfulness too, and just for your diligence in loving him all of your life, right from childhood, and being faithful and to carry this message. And we bless you because you're only just beginning.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's great things ahead for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you too.
Bless you.
God bless you.